welcome to my top five podcast, where it's our duty to disagree with personal preference. I am your host, Fleur Chaumeau.
I like that. That was good and new. I'm usually one doing the dumb sounds.
Yeah, you're usually doing something stupid.
I'm your co-host, Luke Chaumeau.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's Luke.
BT Dubs.
we were just talking before we started about school dinners, like school lunches when we were kids.
The old cafeteria situation.
Yeah. Was it the same for you? Like, you either paid for the day or did you have to do like block weeks? And was the lunch full of turkey Twizzlers?
I don't know what turkey Twizzlers means, firstly. Yeah. That's a British thing.
It's like processed poultry meat inside breading.
Oh, so like a fried, some sort of turkey fried situation.
Yeah, horrifying.
Situation.
You don't know what part
like
of the
a
turkey
mystery
is.
Meat
probably
thing.
Like a giblet.
No, we had like, I think our typical elementary school situation was like you pay for the week in blocks,
and then you just get, because
you could pack a lunch.
Yeah,
like I know kids that would do
dinners.
Like 3 days they would pack and 2 days they would, but the food at the school lunches was terrible.
Oh, really?
But I loved it.
Oh,
typically.
It was terrible in like a
like
good
it was
way.
Terrible. Like most people would probably think it's terrible, but I was a fat kid, and so it was
I
all
think
great.
In this day and age, also we look back and we're like, yeah, that's fucking terrible because you know it's full of, like I said earlier, like eyeballs and who knows what. But back then, it tasted fucking great.
I think
great.
It's more of a stereotype now that it's like, oh, the cafeteria lunch was crappy. But
I don't know. Ravioli I had was delicious, but it was definitely questionable.
See, yeah, that's. I think as a kid, I look back and I'm like, I loved it. But like, I think other kids were like, this is gross. But I was like,
what,
no.
If you took a packed lunch in, what would you eat?
Oh, man. PB&J was my go-to move. Like, I love a good PB&J.
Yeah.
You don't like peanut butter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. We spoke
psychopath.
About that earlier. Yeah,
yeah.
I fucking hate
PB&J
it.
Was my go-to move. Like a pudding, a little pudding thing was
chocolate
always
pudding.
Great. Like a chocolate pudding.
Nice.
Some people did like tapioca, which always weirded me out. Like the little jelly things.
Tapioca is kind of like a rice pudding.
Yeah, and I like it now. But
I
as a kid, the
pudding.
Texture weirded me out.
Yeah, I get that. I used to I hate sandwiches. Well, I don't hate them. I'm just very selective with sandwiches. So I used to just tell my mom, like, yeah, I'll take Nutella in my sandwiches, because we didn't have peanut butter, so we had Nutella, and I would just give them away to the
You knew
the
Nutella
girl.
Would be easy to give away.
Yeah, so easy to give away. Who wants my Nutella sandwiches?
No,
I wouldn't even do a trade. I'd just be like, hey, have my sandwiches. I would eat the fruit.
So you were getting the Nutella for the fat kid because you were just looking out for the fat kid, yeah. Not because you even wanted to gain anything.
Her parents would give her like lettuce in between like very fiber strong bread, and I was the one that was feeding her.
That sounds great.
I would just eat like a satsuma.
Sounds like she needed some fiber strong bread.
If you're in
and
England,
you're out there giving her Nutella.
I know. I'm literally a feeder. I would eat like a chocolate club, which is a fucking delicious chocolate bar. If you're in England, and if you're not in England, look it up. They're bloody delicious.
Chocolate club. That sounds
Chocolate orange. Chocolate orange was my favorite.
Chocolate
I had like
orange.
A biscuit in the middle. It was
that's
so
that's a very
good.
British thing. We don't do a lot of chocolate.
Oh, I love
orange here.
Chocolate.
It's underrated. It's great.
It's the best chocolate of all time.
I support. Well, I don't know about that, but it's very good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, today's subject has nothing to do with any of this. We're just going off on a tangent. But hello, everybody. I couldn't even say everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, I have been drinking.
Hello, everybody. I've had a glass of wine.
Hello, then.
Okay, let's roll in. So our subject today was one that was sent in, and it was top five fave things about your country.
Okay.
They said I could double dip, but to make it interesting, I'll do UK, and maybe you want to just do America.
I like that. Well,
I was.
It's funny thinking about this because top five favorite things about my country is a bit of a weird thing to talk about right now because there's a lot of things not to like about the USA right now. But
same in England, I guess.
I'm using this as an opportunity to look at the good things, and we're gonna flip it. It's gonna be positive.
How magical of you!
We're not just gonna bash. What's going on? Because there's a lot of bad that we are very aware
of. April this year is better than April last year. So
oh, man. Yeah, we thank gosh.
I will say that I did write down who sent this in.
Oh,
wow. Should I say their name or should we just pretend I never write it down?
Say it and then we might cut it out to keep the theme going that
we
built up.
We should beep it.
Yeah,
I should be like, the person who's...
That's funny. That's content.
This was sent in by Nick Berry. So for the first time in my life, I have remembered somebody's name.
That was me inserting the beep. So Caleb, if you want to edit in my own beep or a real beep, I'll let you make the call there.
I feel like there was a guy from a TV show in England called Nick Berry in like the 90s who also did singing, like in a show called Heartbeat, but I'm probably wrong with that. But there we go. Yeah, so top five fave things about your country.
You want to start?
Countrymen.
I think you should kick us off.
Yeah, I can start. I would say a joint thing, and that is music and TV.
All right, let me. Are yours all serious, or you have dumb ones too? Because mine are mostly dumb ones. I'm asking.
Yours like how much chili you put on a hot dog or something?
Don't steal my list. I'm just saying you're not that off the mark. You're not that off the mark. Mine is not. Mine's not all sappy and sentimental. Just saying.
No, it's not sappy. Okay, it's just hey, look, I still miss my country a lot right now.
No, that's fine. You can have that. That's why we have these lists. You can be sappy and sentimental, and I'm going to talk about chili on a hot dog, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so shut up. My number five is music and TV. I think the TV element. Britain is really good at doing kind of dark TV, which I enjoy. We don't kind of shy away from stuff. We have like things like Luther and Marcella and really, really good dark detective series, like Prime Suspect and things like that. And I just love like detective shows, and I think England does it very well. And America has actually in the past like probably 5 years like really picked up on the power of TV. I think like American TV I think has got incredibly really well done, and people have realized that TV isn't just, you know, soap operas.
I think part of the what I have nothing to back this up, but what I feel like is a problem for American TV was that it was all through network television, which has a whole bunch of like restrictions and is all prompt by sponsorship and commercials. So I feel like no one wanted to push any boundaries because of that. I mean, they tried, but over the last 10 to 15, 20 years with cable and now streaming services pumping out content, I feel like they've had a lot more leeway to do cooler shit.
Yeah, I guess because with America, the TV shows that were the darkest were on HBO, and there's no advertising in the middle of episodes. Right. Yeah, I get that.
And that was only, England, in like the 90s that even started.
Yeah, in England, like, I don't know, people are very detached. Like, people don't care if their advert comes on in the commercial of a murder TV show, I guess.
Well, and for some reason, I don't know, America's always been super... Maybe it's like because it was so much, this country is so built on like religious stuff but I feel like it's been very conservative about things like, I don't know, with television and stuff, at least getting to that point of pushing boundaries.
Yeah, very true.
Whereas like, England like has
like,
never
a lot of sex and
yeah, England's
drugs
always
and rock
never
and roll
really
on
filtered
TV.
That stuff, it seems. They just kind of
no, never, yeah.
And I think I don't know,
just like music, because I think England, Britain, was the UK, whatever you want to bloody call it, was the pioneer for rock and roll. Let's be real. What's my hair doing?
British invasion.
I just think, I mean, obviously, America had Elvis. I just mean, like, you look at what's come out of England in like that kind of genre, you know, like Rolling Stones, the Beatles. Yeah. I just think when we had the Olympics in 2012, one of the highlights of the closing ceremony was like all the music that has come out of England. I just love it. Just love it.
Well, I think
One Direction came out of England. So
I think it inspired the American music scene just in general, like the way that it came over here. I don't know that for fact, but it seems that way. That I feel like the Beatles and the Stones and everything kind of pushed the Americans to
do cool music. Like we were just sometimes in music just kind of ahead of the curve in rock music. Yeah. I mean, you look at like Black Sabbath especially and things like that. It kind of feels like I've probably got all my timeline wrong, so people are going to be like, oh my god, this band came before Black Sabbath, shut up. So music and TV.
We're not a music history podcast here, people.
No, we're not. I'm sure there are plenty of them out there.
Yeah, okay, I've been Luke more five. Into sorry back on TV. I've been more into English TV too. I feel like you're especially like comedies, like TV comedy in England is just so different, and I love it.
Yeah,
it's so like I've been more into like Ricky Gervais shows lately, or like even like the IT Crowd's very, I don't know, dry. I don't know. It's funny.
We have a lot of very quirky,
quirky dry, is a good word for it. Yeah,
like stuff that a lot of Americans would watch and be like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
but
even
England
like Monty
like,
Python,
the
comedy
shit.
Side of it and stuff, just yeah. I don't know, pushing boundaries of comedy. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Okay, my number five is not deep at all, but it's true. I'm a fan, and I didn't know this was even a thing. People aren't even going to know to be thankful for this, but free refills in this country, that's a big
yes.
deal that they don't have in other countries, at least most other countries. Here, us fat Americans can pound as much Coca-Cola from a Burger King as you want. You get four buckets of Coke for the same price. You get free refills. Waiter, I want five Cokes, please. But I feel like you go to another country and then you got to buy each one, which is probably better. But I'm thankful to be able to shovel a bunch of soda.
I mean,
down
it
my
is
throat.
Because obviously the America is known for excess, and yeah. obviously in other countries nobody would even drink five Coca-Colas probably in a go. But you know, hey, in America, land of the free, have those five Cokes, man.
Get your 32-ounce big gulp and knock a couple of those back with brown syrup and.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me at all because I don't drink any of it. But someone like Connor, who is obviously a Diet Coke fiend and has like 30 of them a day or something.
It's funny.
When he goes to Europe, he definitely struggles with the no refills.
Yeah, I don't even drink much soda, but you don't realize that it's not normal until you're in another country. And it's like, because, you know, you'll be eating Nando's or something. You're like, I want another drink and... I don't know.
Well, actually, Nando's has refills.
Okay, that's a bad example.
So of all
we'll
the places you could have picked,
I know.
That's the one place.
I was just thinking about how much I miss Nando's, and I was like, that probably applies to this refill situation. But I miss Nando's so bad. I want Nando's chicken.
Okay, going off of that then, I'll make number four food for me.
There you
then.
Go. Underrated, by the way.
Just, yeah, no, everyone seems, I think everyone... is under the impression that food in England is shit, and actually food in England
the stereotype
in the UK is brilliant.
The stereotype is that it's not good, and having been there a couple times now, it could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, I just think that obviously our food standards are higher than some, although I think that's changing now we're out of the EU, but we have food standards that are higher than America, so you know you're not getting poor quality,
right.
And honestly, I don't think there's anything better in the world than battered sausage and chips from the fish and chip shop.
I can't argue with that.
So yeah, and roast dinners, like roast potatoes, which America has not embraced, is mind-blowing to me. And you know, I'm going to say Indian food, which is hilarious because it's, but British Indian food.
Yes.
So it's a different thing from actual Indian food. But no, I just think, we're so serious about things like our snacking, like crisps and chocolate bars, and are so superior to anywhere.
Why
we
is
have
the
so
chocolate
many...
so much better? And I am saying this as a person that really enjoys chocolate. It is so much better in England than it is
here. I think because it's creamy, whereas here it's sugary.
Yeah, like you get a Hershey bar compared to a Galaxy bar over there, and it's even in the same world as... The chocolate's just so much. I think it is the creaminess. It's so much better over there.
Yeah. I think we have like cream and milk a lot more in our chocolate. Like the content of that is higher.
Yeah.
There's nothing like British chocolate. I'm sure someone in Europe from Belgium will disagree with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe it's just, to me, it's just European chocolate period is just so good compared to what
definitely.
We have here.
So yeah, I think the food deserves a little shout out, cheeky shout out.
Well, that works out because I'm going to talk about food for my number four as well. So
okay.
I was trying to think about the U.S. Like obviously the food is amazing, but so much of it's not U.S. food. It's like brought in from other places. Like that's so much of our food
like
here.
What?
Like Mexican food or like so much of our food's built on other cultures. Like. I mean, we've Americanized it, like you said, you were talking about with Indian food, but like Chinese food here and Mexican food, and we got great Italian food, but it's all like Americanized. So I was trying to think of what is American
food.
What's
truly American?
I got to say fried chicken. That's got to be at a top five for me.
I fucking love fried chicken.
Because that's the most American thing we've probably provided for the world. That's a great thing. Southern fried chicken, just authentically freaking
with biscuits and beans
crispy
and I would say barbecue.
Barbecue.
Like authentic
barbecue is a good example.
Very American.
Yeah, I was just trying to think and of that foods that are that America has given the world, and I would say that yeah, barbecue's up there, fried chicken.
You definitely can't get like obviously there's like KFC in fucking England, but yeah. You can't get like proper like biscuits and fried chicken and or chicken and waffles or
everyone
or
needs
proper
to,
barbecue.
Everyone
in
needs
England,
to make friends with someone from the South so that you can meet their grandmother who can make you authentically fried chicken, grandma style.
Just in like a cast iron
yeah.
skillet.
Oh my God. There's yeah. just nothing like it. It is it's just so great. It's so great. Yeah, I'm not talking like fast food fried chicken. Get out of here. I'm talking real down home.
Yeah, we're not talking KFC.
Stick to your ribs style chicken and biscuits.
Good
I
stuff.
I love food. Now I'm so hungry. I'm starving now.
Yeah, it's kind of early in the morning, but there we go. Okay, my number three. Are we on three?
Three, yeah.
Is football.
Like that.
Best sport in the world.
I'm thankful that you guys have provided us with that.
Yeah. Honestly, there's nothing like a football match. And a lot of people in America are like, nothing happens. You get one goal out of 90 minutes. And I'm like, you guys watch baseball and you get maybe one run out of 4 hours. So hush the fuck up.
We're growing. We're growing with our appreciation for soccer, thankfully. Over the last 10 years, we've come a long way.
I think there's a lot of like more investing in the American soccer like yeah. thing. So they're getting bigger. And the more they qualify for, the more people yeah. get interested in it. Do you know what I mean? Sadly, they didn't qualify for the last World yeah. Cup, but if they qualify for the next one, that I think it'll explode.
It was two World Cups ago. There was a couple of World Cups in a row that we made some decent. We didn't do much, but enough that it was exciting. And
you
like
went
we made
further
the,
than England
yeah,
did.
Yeah, like we made the knockouts and stuff. And so I think that really hyped up people. We are doing a better job of building like youth soccer here. So it's not just, you know, so that people actually care about it. I think that's helping build better yeah. players.
Don't get just retired European players right. here. You get like homegrown people that people can get behind and support. Yeah.
I got to shout out my hometown Columbus Crew, MLS champions.
Yep.
Got to shout that
out. And the new stadium that's being built for that.
New stadium's being built. Very exciting times here in Columbus for the soccer scene.
Yeah, I am all about that. I'm probably going to get a season ticket once the new stadium's opened.
Yeah. I've got mine ready.
I've just always been obsessed with football. So
I'm going to talk about sports later in my list, but I think
great uniter.
I think that the thing, like you're saying about European soccer especially, is that is... From what I can tell, that is the sport that everyone in the city gets behind their team. Like
100%.
It is
so ingrained into you.
Yeah, you're just generations of the fans of that, and that's the sport. Like obviously you have other sports, but that's the one that historically everyone's gotten behind.
Yeah. And, like everyone loves Wimbledon, but you're not going to get like. Well, I guess you do get thousands of people watching. I mean, you get millions
but
of people
just,
watching on TV.
It's not
but
like supporting
you can't
a
set
team.
Up a huge screen in like Hyde Park in the middle of London because you've got into like the semifinals. You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that about. I love that about your country and just Europe in general.
Yeah, football is such a big deal, and I bloody love football.
Let's see. My number three. I'll go with just the invention of things like bourbon. That's a very American thing. Craft beer became a very American thing that's now spread beyond America. But
yeah,
I like alcohol. I like alcohol in a responsible way. And these are things that I really enjoy.
In a responsible way.
Yeah. America kind of took the idea of like bars and then we've just built this whole ecosystem or this economy of like craft breweries thing now.
Ecosystem.
That's the wrong word. We'll edit that out.
Kidding.
We won't, but it's fine. I'm a fan of good drinks and good hangs. And you kind of get behind your brewery and that's fun. And I love bourbon.
I did
I'm
a question on
that.
One of my Christmas quizzes that was like, is bourbon from? If it's original bourbon, where does it have to be made to technically be 100% bourbon?
Did anyone
and
know?
And a lot of people said Tennessee. But obviously it's Kentucky. Yeah. But I mean,
English friends probably, in fairness, I wouldn't expect them to know that.
Well, I'm surprised they came up with Tennessee. I was really impressed with that.
Tennessee's right next
Jack
to
Daniels,
Kentucky.
Which
it's
I think
right there.
Is Tennessee. I think Jack Daniels is Tennessee. That's probably why they were thinking of it. Yeah, they're right next to each other. So I was very impressed
with
that.
That's impressive.
But yeah, isn't that amazing that bourbon was just invented there? And yeah, like you said, craft beer has become such a thing. In England, we have craft cider because we're more known for cider than beer, really. But
even craft beer over there is now becoming a thing. Like, oh, it's over huge. The last 10 years now, it's like,
I mean, everyone loves beer in the UK, but they tend to drink just standard beer. But the craft beer scene is fucking exploding.
We
kind of
took the beer that you guys established and decided we're going to go wacky with it. Now it's out of control.
Nuts, man. My number two is the culture, like lots of culture, olden days happening in the UK, lots of history.
Yeah.
So culture / the monarchy, because we all know I love Lizzie.
Yep.
So I just think, you know, it's a huge moneymaker for the country tourism wise. But I just kind of love that we have these, you know, crazy old traditions and crazy amounts of history. And why are things done this way? Oh, because that is how it was done 100 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
500 years ago, whatever. So it's just like, I don't know. A lot of people, the country is obviously divided. There are naysayers who hate the fact that we have a monarchy and, you know, you're just lucky to be born into it. And there are people like me who are just like, honestly, he's probably been ingrained to me. I'm just happy. I'm fine with the status quo and accepting that's how life is and embracing it. And I just think it adds a lot to, like, old buildings and palaces and castles. And there's just so many in the UK that they're just beautiful, and I love all the history behind it.
Well,
so,
as an American that
culture...
went over, as an American that's been over there, the one of the things that hit me the hardest and the craziest was being around buildings that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. Because
like older
we just,
than your country,
we don't have that. Yeah. We do not have, like, we obviously, like, you have nature and stuff, but not man-made structures that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And when we walked through Oxford, and just like these have been here for since like the, I don't even know, like what, like the freaking out of 500 years? How old?
Yeah,
further
1300s
than that?
Or something?
Yeah,
I
was going to say 1400s. I have no idea. But like, we just don't have it. The oldest structures we have are just not that old when you really think about it comparatively. It's very
crazy. You have to go to like Charleston or somewhere to find.
And even
like,
that, it's like
stuff.
We're talking a couple hundred years at the most. Like, not.
Yeah,
I just
really
years.
Enjoy that we have all of that. And I love that we have a monarchy. Because we have like a prime minister and stuff. So we've obviously got like pretty much the same system that you have here. So we have a combination. The Queen definitely has less power than she did forever ago. But it's like, I still really appreciate that we have her. And, you know, Queen's speech at Christmas, what's better?
You gotta love it.
Lizzie chewing you up on Christmas Day, telling you to have hope about life. Love
it. Do people hate the monarchy just because of the wealth and the...
Well,
just...
I've spoken about it before. It's like, it depends how you grew up, doesn't it, really, I think.
Yeah.
My dad is incredibly against it, but he came from an incredibly poor background. So he's like, why should somebody just be born into so much money that is provided by the British public? My mum loves the royal family, but she came from a very wealthy background. So, you know, she was born into wealth too. So it's... I think there's just a kind of the taxpayer does fund their lifestyle, but they also, and people are like, oh, about that. But also they bring in so much in tourism.
Yeah.
Like people just going to see the Buckingham Palace is like,
yeah,
that brings in millions and millions of revenue every year to this country. So I think the give and take is a lot more even than people make out, but that's just because I love the monarchy, so I'm sure I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Someone's going to reply with the facts of money.
Well, they'll be smarter than us, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, two for you, Luke.
My number two is actually kind of along... It's funny, our list has gone really like in sync here. Mine, I have written down like just the different cultures and the different scenery within our country. That's something that is really cool about the U.S. I think that there's a lot of problems because of that. We have a lot of unrest and injustice and a lot of things that need to be acknowledged that need to be changed in how we treat people. But what I love is the fact that you can go from one state to the other and have a completely different... It's like you're in a different world and you don't have to go
nuts.
Very far at all. Like to go from mountains to the ocean within... You know, and to the Great Plains, to Great Lake, like there's just so much to see, and I have
it blows my mind.
People go their whole lives and never see so much of it. The national park system here, I mean, like,
oh, it's
crazy.
I remember saying to your dad, because I think your dad hasn't left America, or he's been to Canada.
He's only been to like Mexico or something, not very far.
Yeah, but I was saying there's so many different types of scenery that people, you know, because a lot of Americans don't ever leave America, and I'm like, yeah. I have an opinion about if you never leave your fucking state, but right. There's so much to do in just this country. Yeah. Like you said, like there's snowy mountains and you go down a little bit further and there's beaches and then you go to like Arizona and you've got like the Grand Canyon and all the national parks. And there's every type of scenery you could ever want to see all in this country. So I get it when people don't. And like you go to Hawaii and see volcanoes. Right. So you literally have everything.
And, I love that along with the scenic stuff, you just get the different cultures and all these different places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like to think about like New Orleans versus New York, that's in the same country. Yeah. And it's like two completely different worlds of culture.
Or even like New Orleans versus like Minnesota.
Right. Yeah. That's all the same. To Montana, to California.
Yeah, to Montana. I mean, wow. Yeah. Wyoming.
And you just don't get... I don't think you get that without going country to country in other places. And
no, I completely agree.
At least to the level it is here.
I just realized that, like, I was saying, like, you, as in I don't live here, but now I am an American citizen.
Yeah,
so
you got that dual citizenship now. We and us.
We.
You can make
the royal
change.
We.
You can make the change now.
I could be the change.
I love it.
I completely agree. I think there's so much to see in just this country alone that I've been trying to go to all the states. I think I've got like 8 states left or something. Yeah. So I haven't been to like Montana and stuff.
I've never sat down and tried to figure out all the states I've been to. I bet it's a lot.
Yeah, you need to do that because you would have gone around a ton on Warped Tour and stuff. Oh, yeah. I didn't count if we were just, you know, driving through it and stopped at like a truck stop. I didn't count those, but I definitely counted if I'd spent the day there.
Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, you need to figure that out.
Yeah.
My number one is... A little attempt at a drum roll.
I like your drum roll.
What do you think my number one is? Sorry, no one can see this, but my hair is doing this ridiculous thing. So my number one is...
Got a nice emo swoop going.
I know. My number one is the pub.
Pub.
It's my favorite thing about the UK. It's
pub
the pub.
Life.
There's not an equivalent here. I don't think there's really much of an equivalent in many places. But there's just something really great about being like, I'll meet you down the pub, or just hanging out at the pub, watching football at the pub.
Yeah.
With all the lads, all drinking pints. And I just think there's an atmosphere and because they're usually incredibly old buildings that have all this history and you just can't recreate it. So yeah. I'm just, the pub is the best thing in the UK, I think.
I'm envious of that.
There's one on every corner.
I think the closest we have is like a dive bar, like a neighborhood dive bar. That would be the closest.
But even then,
equivalent.
That's not on the same,
no, it's
on the
not.
Same par at all, because we have dive bars in England.
Right. And that's what I just mean from a standpoint of like the people know you, you're like a regular, you're a local, and like, you
yeah,
just have the...
yeah, you literally have your local that you meet your mates down
right.
like after work and have a pint before you go home and have dinner. Do you know what I mean?
It's the best.
And pub food is great, and pork scratchings, and
I'm such a fan.
Yeah, I just think it's quintessentially British and the best thing ever. Just the pub.
I
fucking love the fucking pub, and I miss the pub.
I support.
Just wanna go down
to pub. I support.
Pub, 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 pub.
My number one kind of goes back to what you were saying on your earlier list about soccer or football over there.
Football.
Mine is just that I love in a different like. While I envy what you guys have there, I love that we have such a variety of sports here. That's such a big deal. We have like at least 5 major sports that people really, really care about. And you can get the same level of passion in a city about baseball as you can about football and this city and stuff like that. And I think that's, while I am envious of just like the generational building of soccer over there, I think that's a really, really cool thing. But here, it's, I am a diehard about five different teams that are all, you know, either within my city
what,
or...
what are all the sports? You have, obviously, American football,
football,
baseball...
basketball, baseball, hockey, and soccer, I would say, are the five big ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can have can have friends that are ride or die about one, but don't care about the other. Or you have people like me who just are obsessive about sports and have, they just get obsessed with everything. And I think that's a cool thing about... even just the growing up part of it is that you, as a kid that was really into sports, you have all these options, all these opportunities to find something you really love. And that's, I think that's a really cool thing about this.
And I know I like shit on baseball earlier, but there is also something about going into the stands. And obviously I can't have the hot dogs, but getting a drink and sitting in the stands for a few hours with your friends and then the take me.
It's the
out
best.
To the
having a beer and some peanuts and a hot dog at a classic baseball game, just chilling. It's so fun.
It's like an
It's like a low key hangout.
In the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like really, really enjoyable.
Going to like a big soccer game over there is like a totally different experience because it is, you're all in, you're standing, you're yelling.
Well, that's like American football here, which I also enjoy going to watch. Yeah.
But that's what I mean, though, the variety. You just have all this variety. Yeah. You can have an experience at a baseball game, and then you can go watch playoff hockey, and it's the most intense stuff ever.
Yeah.
And you have the same level of passion about it. And I just think that's a cool thing about here.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah.
I would probably
agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Well, and we have a couple of questions got sent in. Galvake said, what are your thoughts on Pizza Hut? I can't stand Pizza Hut. Pizza's probably
my least favorite of the chain pizza places in the US.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of options in England. So you have Pizza Hut, you have Pizza Express pretty much, I think. I mean, you have Domino's, but Pizza Hut. No, not for me. It's always too thick. I'm a thin crust.
It's not even the crust to me. It's just the whole thing. The quality of the ingredients, I don't feel like is that good. And it's just kind of...
They used to say that they spray it with something that makes you feel fuller quicker. Because they do obviously do like a Pizza Hut buffet. And there's some kind of spray that gets sprayed on the base and the things that makes you feel fuller quicker. But I just think people feel full because it's just so much dough.
Yeah, and greasy and... It's not just like shit. Don't get me wrong. You throw a Pizza Hut pizza in front of me, I'm going to eat it. I got no beef with it.
Option.
I love pizza. I'm a pizza junkie, so I will eat the pizza.
But if I'm comparing apples to apples, I'm not going with
Pizza Hut.
Not first choice, that's for sure.
No.
No, thank you.
This is a good question for you. You've kind of talked about this a little bit, but Side Mission wants to know what the hardest part of starting a podcast is. What would you say has been the hardest part of starting a podcast?
Probably getting guests, I would think.
Yeah.
The idea was fine. Getting equipment was fine because, you know, we were surrounded by people that know what they're doing with that stuff.
Sure.
So, Caleb, they're great at telling us what to do with all that. I would say getting guests because when you're new, no one ever wants to be the first person to do something.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just have to be like, we've got this other person doing it to like encourage other people to do it. So probably just the guest portion of it, because obviously we have always wanted to have guests.
Yeah.
So that was probably the hardest part is getting people, friends
that got our backs early on to kind of get some
absolutely. We've had some great people help us out. We've also had some people that didn't really help us out, but I won't talk about them. But it's very hard to convince people that it's something serious, that someone, if they like manage them or if they're in a big profile band, to convince them that it's actually worthy of their time.
Right.
But yeah, that's probably the only hardest part. Everything else I think has been pretty easy. Obviously Corona hit us sideways and we had to try and figure that out. But yeah, I think that's the hardest part.
I like it.
Let's end with this. What's the best thing about being a showmo?
Oh, the best thing about being a showmo.
Is that we're motherfucking showmos. That was sent in by Scully.
You know, this is a genuine answer. I think it's the fact that the showmos are so... limit, like there's just not a bunch of showmos in the world. There's no, like, my last name's not Johnson or something. There's like, it's
very
like
true.
We are a very specific family, and there might be like, I think there's maybe two strands of showmos in the whole country. So I'd say that's the best thing.
I am the only Fleur showmo in the entire world.
Really? I believe that. I just don't think there's a lot of showmos around. So I feel like
it's nice to have an individual. Yeah, it's nice to have an individual name.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just being a showman is just fucking awesome.
Yeah,
so,
rock and roll.
Rock and roll, baby.
Love it.
We'll see you next time, you pieces
of
shit.
Bye. Don't call
just kidding.
Don't
that was really mean.
Don't you say that.
We'll see you next time, jabronis.
Why don't you just say something nice? Just be nice.
Jabronis is a playful thing. Okay, we'll see you next time, lovely people.
That sucked. Boo.
Peace. Bye.